come up this morning, and he's going to share the word with us.
Good job.
I appreciate Colin. Sometimes you have a busy week, and I knew I had a busy week coming, and I phoned Colin and just said, hey, any chance that you'd be able to speak? And I just appreciate your willingness, Colin, to jump in whenever. And I had to go to Saskatoon for district meetings this week, and we had the Alpha weekend and just lots going on, and so I appreciate it. And also, I just would like you to extend your hand and let's pray for him. Lord, we just thank you for Colin. We thank you for his heart. And God, we just pray for just your anointing and God, boldness to speak and share and clearly whatever you've put on his heart to share today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Go for it. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Well, it's good to be in church, isn't it? I had a unique position here because this little girl over here is entertaining, and I couldn't help but think of my little granddaughter, probably a little older than her, in Wisconsin. I was talking to my youngest son the other day, and they've been teaching her how to deal with things, and she's that old, and so Heidi, who is Riley's wife, she said, so all you have to do, honey, is just take a deep breath, exhale, and just calm yourself down. Just breathe. Just breathe, okay? So this is how you deal. So she was busy one evening with Riley, and she's got these little finger puppets. They're little rubber things, and 10 of them come in a package, apparently. And she was, their living room is probably from here to that wall. And Riley's sitting over in the far corner, and her finger puppets are over here in this corner on the floor. And she was taking them one at a time and putting them on his finger. And so all the way across, hobble back there, and one on the finger, till she had 9. And she went to get the 10th one, and she was about a third of the way back. And Riley went like this. And all 9 of them fell off. And she just stopped. And she goes. And I thought, well, gee, she already knows how to deal with things. And I was thinking that maybe in some cases with young kids, that's what we have to do, isn't it? Just breathe. Just breathe. This too will pass. Yeah. So I was watching a movie last night, and it was called The Case for Christ. And it's the story of Lee Strobel is the fellow's name. And he was an atheist. And he was very happy with that him and the woman he'd chosen to be his wife and the little girl that they're raising to be an atheist, he was very happy with that life. And an event happened that just about cost the girl's life. She was choking to death, and there just happened to be a doctor or a nurse in the restaurant that they were in when this happened. Lee Strobel had taken the little girl when they found out, when they realized she was choking, later on her back on the floor, and was saying, don't choke, don't die. And the nurse, who just happened to pick that restaurant, they were actually going to a different restaurant, and picked that one instead, saved her life. Got the it was a gumball out of her mouth, and saved her. And the wife said to this nurse, said, thank you so much. I don't know, like, you're such a, I don't even know what the words were, but she said, well, Jesus knew. And she said, what? Well, she said, I wasn't going to be at this restaurant, but Jesus told me to come here for supper. And that started it. So the whole movie is her growing in the Lord and him disproving the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in the end, he could not help but admit that it's true, that it all happened. But the story behind the whole thing is, he couldn't understand why any man, why any person would do it. Why would you allow that sort of pain and death on yourself? Which started with, as most of us in here know, with 29 lashes, and which is, you can't fathom what the pain would be, with the shards of bone and glass and stuff weaved in to the long leather strips that when they grabbed the skin from behind, it would grab over the shoulders, maybe the neck, the face. When it was done, he was unrecognizable. And he still. He still had to go up the hill. With the cross on that back. And he couldn't understand why. Why would anyone do it? We know what that answer is. Love. He loved each one of us so much that he died on that cross for each one of us. For me. For you. And maybe there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus. And you wonder why he would have done that. Now you know. He loves you so much. You were the joy set before him that he went to the cross for you. One of the things that along the road of proving that the resurrection was false, he went to a medical doctor who said he wanted to prove that he actually died there. He was trying to disprove the fact that he died, actually gone to the grave and rose again, that he hadn't actually died. He just got knocked out. And the medical doctor said the amount of damage that was done from the scourging alone can kill people. Then he said the spikes that went through the feet and the hands only after the beating, and he's on the cross, his back was against that cross. And the only possible way to lift yourself up to get a breath was to put all your weight back and lift, and so that back would go up that cross every time he had to take a breath. And then a spear was stuck between his ribs just after he didn't die. And blood and water flowed. He did that for each one of us. And you know, you hear he did that so that we would be able to have a relationship with him. And he did it that we would be able to live an abundant life. Now we have an enemy that comes against that. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we would have life and have it to its fullest. And you know, we can get busy in our day-to-day lives and thinking, oh man, I need to get this, and I need to get that, and we need to have this much money, we need to have this many kids, and I'm looking for some happiness here. Like, let's get on with this. Have you ever heard someone say, I have a temper. That's just the way I am. I've always been like that. Have you ever heard someone say, you know, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all? Or one I was talking with a guy the other day, an old friend, and he said, you know, he said, I'm a worrier. And I said, oh, really? I said, you seem like kind of a happy-go-lucky type guy. And he said, no, he said, I'm a worrier. He said, if I'm having too good a day, he said, I'll think of something that I can worry on. And I said, come on. You're just saying. And he said, guy, he said, that's me. He said, I worry. I said, well, I said, Jesus doesn't want you to do that. He said, what? And because we weren't talking about the Lord. He was talking about worrying. And I said, no. I said, you don't have to worry. He died for that. And, well, what do you mean? Well, I said, through his death, I mean, the blessings of God will come upon you and overtake you. You'll be blessed in the city and in the field. You'll be blessed coming and going. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and never beneath. Your enemy might come at you one way, but he'll flee from you in seven ways. Our God supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I just went on, and he said, we said, how long have you thought that? And I said, I've thought that for a long time. He said, oh, he said, that's what you are doing. And I said, yeah, I said, you don't have to live like that. I said, you can live a joyful life, not have to worry. Well, he said, don't get me wrong. He said, I got a good life. I said, well, I realize that too. But I said, Jesus wants you to have an outstanding life and not to worry. He went to the cross for those things. And we get stuck in these ruts where we think, like we talk like that, where we, if there wasn't something to worry about, I'll figure it out. I'll figure out something. So what we have to do, and again, I don't like to use the word preach because I don't really think I'm a preacher. I'm more or less just having a conversation with y'all. And so I always think, so do you think it's possible to retrain your mind, our thoughts, the way we think or speak? I mean, wouldn't it be great if there was a way to just change the way we do life? Wouldn't it be great if there was a how-to book on how to live a successful, worry-free, faith-filled, healthy, debt-free, powerful life? Wait a minute. We do have one. The Word of God. And, you know, I used to think there was, you know, I read the Bible a lot, but to have it up here is a lot handier just to have your phone. But I always think, like, that might be a little sacrilegious looking or something when you're up here on your phone all the time. But the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. It's the God breathed this word. And when you get into it, if you will look into it, it will literally, the Word of God says, do not be conformed to this world. And I mean, I'm not even going to say how old I am this year. A lot of years I've been around. And even as a Christian, you conform yourself, certain areas of your life, to the world. And maybe you don't, but in some areas of my life, I feel like I do. I'm not, at times, all that I want to be in Him. But it says not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Can you renew your mind too much? I don't think so. And by renewing your mind, I do mean reading the Word of God. I do mean hanging out with people who think the same way as you, believe the same way as you. And yes, we have to be a light to those around us who don't know Jesus. But we are called to be. Can you imagine if everyone in this room who said they were a Christian were living like Jesus? Can you imagine if all of us went out there and lived like Jesus? And it wasn't at the grocery store where they said, oh yeah, well, another one of those Christians. Yeah. Loving me. Another one of those Christians wanting a deal. Can you imagine if we all went out there and were Jesus to our world? Heck, this world might be done already. We'd all be gone. The Word says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you can be saved. You will be saved. Not can be, you will be saved. That verse carries on. It says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So with the heart one believes unto right standing with God. Now, I've heard some people say, you know, I feel like there's something wrong if it's all right in my life. I know wrong better than I do right. But again, we have to point back to, we were all born with a sinful nature, all of us. My wife thinks I wasn't, but I was. I was born with a sinful nature as well. She's laughing like she didn't say that. Anyways, moving on. That we all have, as we've believed, right standing with God. And along with that comes a change in thoughts, thought patterns, the way we speak, the way we talk, the way we act. That all changes, right? And it doesn't become a thing. I want to make it very clear that what you're doing after you accept Jesus, if it's sin or if it's wrong or if it's whatever, that has been forgiven. We don't stand before God every minute of our lives saying, sorry, sorry, sorry. He forgave us. And there's some things that we do and there's some things that we say that are wrong. And from the verse that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I believe that's the way that our world works, or the way our spirits work. We believe and we say. We believe and we say. But what do we believe? You know, I've talked to people who say, yeah, that was my favorite verse And I said, oh, what one was that? Well, that one that you said had praiseworthy, that one with praiseworthy in it. And, okay, when we renew our minds, we read the word, and we grow and we change from the inside out with that word. And that particular verse is those things that are true, pure, just, noble, lovely, of good report, those things. If anything has virtue, if anything is praiseworthy, think on these things. You know, we can get wrapped up, like I said, in our lives and forget about those things. The word says in Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. There's another translation says, and those who like to talk will reap the consequences. I like that one better, but I don't. Because our words, and again, I used to think that words were just words. I grew up in a family that, oh boy, yeah, I mean, you had to be on your toes. You had to be able to be sharp and have a comeback or something, or you were going to look foolish. And so I grew up trying to be and actually being at times quick-witted, but to a fault. And I had to change those things. And it's, at times, I'll still come up with a zinger or something, but I, as a rule, I try and be transformed. I try to keep my mind renewed. And again, I don't say any of this but for conversation and but for information and for you to know in your heart right and wrong. And again, I'm not God to you. I'm having a conversation. So there are times also where you just should be quiet. And husbands and wives, you'll know that part of the story. More so husbands, I believe. But many times I said to my wife, we're talking about Galatians 5 and the fruit of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And Dawn says, well, yeah. She said, yes. She said, a lot of them, you're pretty good at. And she said, but you're just like that. And but I said, I'm not like that. I came from a household where an argument was just as good, just get in a fight, get it over with. Like, start punching. When everybody's done punching, then that's settled. And so that's the way I was raised. You don't agree with me? Well, let's fight. And so for me to have to say that the fruit of the Spirit operates in me, and I say I have self-control, man, I've worked hard at that. And again, it's not an outward thing. It's not me being good enough, but it's training and renewing my mind that, no, that's not the way you have an argument, or that's not the way you speak your mind. So there are things that we've always done and said that we shouldn't always done and say. Right? Jesus died that we would have an abundant life. And I always go back to, and I have a hard time not saying, by the renewing of your mind. Because without the renewing of your mind, it's literally impossible to live the Christian life. And I read a thing that my wife gave me. And I know this was just for my betterment, of course. And so it's not very long. It says, a stronghold is not built overnight. It is formed gradually when a lie is believed long enough that it becomes established in the mind as though it were true. This is why the Bible speaks of strongholds in military terms. A stronghold can function like a prison. You can see freedom, understand what God's word says, and even desire change, yet still feel unable to reach it. At the same time, a stronghold can act like a fortress. When truth comes, it strikes the walls but cannot penetrate because the lie has been reinforced over time. It is important to understand that a person can sincerely love God, faithfully serve Him, be deeply committed to His word, and still be bound in one area of thinking. A stronghold is not a sign of spiritual failure. It is a signal that an area of the mind has not yet been fully renewed. Strongholds are not dismantled by emotion or willpower alone. According to Scripture, they are pulled down through persistent, intentional exposure to truth. As the Word of God is believed, spoken, and applied consistently, lies lose their authority and the mind begins to change. Freedom comes the same way bondage came, one thought at a time. That is why renewing the mind, this is what struck me out of all that. That is why renewing the mind is not optional for the believer. It is essential. So let me ask you, how are you renewing your mind today? Is your mind... is your mind in here? Is it going through reels? Is it finding the next devotional? Is it following a certain somebody? Or is it here? Because this is not optional for us. This is, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And you know, when I first became a Christian, I hungered after the word, and I read it for the first few years that I was a Christian. If I was gone somewhere, if Don was wondering where Colin was in the house, he's probably in the bathroom reading the Bible, trying to get out of work. And but then life gets busy and you go on and you just live the Christian life. And you do all the right things. And you say most of the right things. And you believe what the Word of God says. But do we? If you're not reading this, do you? Can you? Just questions. Putting it out there to you. Our hearts have to change. Proverbs 4:20-23 says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life, life to those who find them, and health and healing to all their flesh. Now, I didn't say that. He did. Do we do that? Look at the promise there. The next verse says, keep your heart with all diligence. Oh, yeah, for out of it spring the issues of life. Good reader, Colin. For out of it spring the issues of life. How do you keep your heart? By giving attention to his word and inclining your ear to his sayings. There is no shortcut, and you shouldn't want one, because the time you get to spend in the word and the time you spend with him is just like sitting there with your best friend and over a coffee. Back in the day, it wasn't over a coffee, was it? You'd sit around and you'd talk and you'd laugh, and it's the same thing now, except you're doing it as unto him, as unto the Lord. And again, I don't want to make you feel like, no, I've got to do this and I've got to do that, because, well, you have to, but anyways, it's not a thing where I'm saying that's how you get saved. If you've believed in your heart that Jesus is Lord, confess that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the end of that story. What you do with him after that all depends on how much you want to renew your mind, but it is absolutely essential. And if you're sitting here and you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, I mean, don't leave here without doing it. I'll give you an opportunity to do that before we all leave. But I mean, I can remember going to church services when I was rodeoing, and that was when I first started hearing about Jesus. And I always say, if it wasn't for a mother-in-law or for getting married, I would have maybe never heard about Jesus. As a kid, I went to church, but I didn't remember that, and I certainly wasn't living a godly life when I started dating Miss Newby. And her mother was an absolute freak about Jesus, in a good way. Now I say that. But at the time it was, Audrey, enough already. Okay, I've heard you. I hear it. But you know what? That's where sneaking into the bathroom with the Bible started. And I can remember being out at their place. I didn't have a Bible at my place, and there might have been one at my house at where I grew up. I can't remember. But, you know, I read a verse of scripture that changed my life and set me on this path. But it was, I was just barely starting to rodeo. I was 3 or 4 years rodeoing at the time. And the verse of scripture that I read was John 12:43. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I literally just about started crying right there on the toilet. But that's the word of God. When it gets you, when you realize what Jesus did for you, there's no turning back. Like I said, I remember going to a rodeo, and one that stands out in my mind was, I was at a rodeo in Beachy, and it was Sunday morning. No, it was Saturday night, sorry. It was Saturday night, and the Fellowship of Christian Cowboys was meeting in the hall just across the parking lot from the rink where the rodeo and the dance were. Well, at that time, I still was okay with a dance and a party, But I'd been hearing about Jesus. And I went to the dance, then I went out in the parking lot, and then I walked past the front of the community hall, looked in there, geez, everybody was laughing, and I wondered if they had any beer in there. Literally, this is just me being honest here. And I thought, well, you know, I knew a few of the guys in there. I could probably go have a talk. And I mean, if they had a beer, then I'd have something in my hands and I wouldn't feel stupid. And then I went back to the dance. 3 or 4 times. This is one night. This is just one moment in my life. And I finally went to the community hall there. And I walked in the front door. Love. No beer, but love. And that's really where it started. It was a few weeks after that I gave my life to the Lord. Had a few ups and downs with that initial setting, and have been committed to Him ever since. But I can honestly say that without having your mind renewed, you can't live the Christian life. You won't be able to. Again, I got a little story I remember. Just shortly after accepting the Lord, I was, in fact, it might have been just before, but yeah, I think maybe just before, and I was living like a Christian. And I remember going home to where my mom and dad lived, and my brothers were there, and of course, because I was a Christian, I was pretty holy all of a sudden. And so cussing and swearing and that sort of thing wasn't allowed around me, and especially by my brothers, because I'm the oldest. So that's the way that goes. So they were swearing, and I said, hey, don't do that. Don't do what? Enough of the swearing, okay? It's not right. So pretty soon they're swearing again. So I said, hey, no more warnings. Like, again after this, I mean, I'm going to have to fight you. So, I mean, you know what's coming. So we ended up in their bedroom fighting, all three of us, just going at her in there. And by the time that was all straightened out, they were still swearing. So it didn't matter. We need a renewed mind, and the only way to renew that mind is through the Word of God. Now, before we leave, I do want to extend the opportunity for anyone here who hasn't received Jesus as their Lord and Savior to do that. And a very simple prayer, if everyone will bow your head and close your eyes and just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I confess with my heart that Jesus is Lord. Or with my mouth, sorry. And I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. Help me to be the man or woman of God that You've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Colin.